What a good day.
Weekend.
Tomorrow's the day, but this is Memorial Day weekend. And it's always an amazing day. God's the one that set up memorials, amen? He's the one that started it. He's the one that set it up. You know, we must remember what God has done. Tyler, I didn't even see you. Good to see you here, man. He's back from the army, sir. Good to see a man in some greens back there, you know it? I like it. Dwight D. Eisenhower, we talk about memorials. It's about those who have gone on before us and paid the ultimate price. We know that. That's what this weekend is set aside for, Monday is set aside for. It's to remember those that have given you the freedom to come and go as you please, to walk the way you want to walk, to dance around and shout the name of Jesus on every street in America. Amen? And then around the world, these men and women have gone and given their lives for each and every one of us. I remember Dwight D. Eisenhower, he said, I stood by the bedside of a boy in Korea whose spine had been torn away by a shell blast the night before. But by some miracle, he was still living. He was unable to change his position, and if he lived, the doctor informed me the rest of his days would be spent lying on his stomach. The army medics had patched him up the best that they could. I gripped his cold, perspiring hand and said words of comfort to him, and he made a statement that I will never forget. He said, "It was worth it if it keeps America free." People have paid a price for your freedom. You younger people have no clue what it costs for you to stare at TikTok all day long. To only worry about what new hat you're going to buy or what pair of sneakers you're going to buy. To only care about what you look like rather than what you were created to do. And I just want to encourage you. The only way that America stays free is if we remain one nation under God. There is no freedom outside of the name of Jesus Christ for any country. And we've got to be those people. The freedoms that we take, we take them for granted, and the freedoms that we so often trifle with and were bought not with gold from the millionaires, nor together with the genius of scientists, nor the sacrifices of people at home, but primarily by the blood, sweat, and agony of those whose names on this day we honor, who died that we might live, who we don't even know. Isn't it true? The billionaires, it's not because of them. It's not because of the scientists. It's because of the men and women who laid their lives down. The kingdom is expanded the same way. The kingdom isn't expanded because of a mega church. Otherwise, California wouldn't be in the shape it's in. Because there's more mega churches in California than any other state in the union. All right? So it's not about the mega church. It's not about the big, the best, the nicest, the most expensive. It's about each individual man and woman willing to lay down their lives for one thing. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. For one nation under God. You know, right now, today, the day and the hour that we live in, they're tearing memorials down. Let me tell you something. If we forget, if we tear the memorials down, we destroy our future. It's very simple. We tear them down, we lose our future. Because we're going to go back into what God, what caused us to become a great nation. Walking away from the other ways of life that were completely consuming and tyrannical. You know, God's into remembering. Exodus 20 and verse 8, he said, remember what? Remember the Sabbath. And what? Keep it holy. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not working today. Keep it holy. He said, remember the Sabbath. He wanted you free. He wanted you to understand who gave you your freedom. And he wanted you to be able to enjoy all that he has created. Amen? But he said, you're going to have to remember to keep it free. How many times did you forget that you weren't, the Sabbath was supposed to be for rest? Right? How booked up are you this afternoon? Honey, did you fill the ice chest? You got all the food packed? Don't forget, we got to be out of here by such a time. We got to be over here, and we got to be there. We got to visit your mother, your grandmother, your aunt, your uncle. We got to be by Uncle Fester's house to make sure we say hi to him. And we run as fast as we can all day. God said, remember the Sabbath. Remember that I created everything in 7 days, and I wanted you to rest. The children of Israel were not to grow lax in their observation of that command. We've got to be careful that we don't grow lax in the observation of the command to remember what he has asked us to do. He said to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And that word, we have the whole phrase to keep it holy, but it's really one Hebrew word, and it means to consecrate. It means to set apart or to sanctify. He said, set this day apart as something different. Remember to set this day apart, that you never forget who your creator is. Remember to set this day apart, that you never forget the one that paid the price for each and every one of us. Remember to set this day apart so you never forget who's the one that supplies everything you have need of and I have need of. Man, the more that I set the time apart for him, the freer I become, the more grateful I become. And I want to encourage you, today is a day of being grateful. This weekend is a weekend of being grateful. It's not about Monday. You know, our government knew, I don't know what they know anymore, but they knew back then that to bring Memorial Day in, they knew it was so important to remember all the lives that were given that they said, we'll even pay you to stay home and remember. We'll give you another Sabbath. That's how powerful this is. That's how much we must think about it. Earlier this year, we went over, because I'm part of the American Legion, and so every year what we do is we go through the the cemetery right here, and we replace all the flags of the veterans, and each of the veterans have a little brass plaque by their gravestone, and so we go through, we take out all the ones that are ripped and torn for the year, and we replace over 2,000 flags in the cemetery this year. For what purpose? To remember. Because if we don't remember, we take everything for granted. And if the church has done one thing, it's taken a lot for granted. The church has taken a lot for granted of what other men and women have paid in order to find our freedom here. And we're giving it up day by day if we're not careful. Memorial Day is a day to cause us to remember to be a grateful people. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm grateful today. You know, without memorials, we lose our gratefulness. We don't remember what someone else has done for us. We forget to be grateful, and we think a whole lot of ourselves. We've got to remember what Christ has done. We've got to remember what they have done that have gone on before us. And those who have gone before us knew how important it was to remember. You know, today is about the fallen. We're grateful for Tyler and those that have served and are serving, for the men and the women that are defending our country so that we can sleep at peace, so that we can proclaim Jesus Christ, so that we can live the way that God has called us to live, to love him and love one another. Amen. They have sleepless nights so that we can rest in perfect peace in this country. You know, Abe Malaj, you got that picture? I'm going to bring that one up. There it is. So this is, you'll see it over to Walmart. They'll have it set up in one of the parking spaces too, and it's a symbolism of the missing man table. And I'm just going to read through it. It says, the table is round to show our everlasting concern for our missing men and women. The cloth is white, symbolizing the purity of their motives when answering the call to serve. The single red rose displayed in a vase reminds us of the lives of these Americans and their loved ones and friends who keep the faith while seeking answers. The red ribbon symbolizes our continued determination to account for our missing. A slice of lemon reminds us of their bitter fate, captured and missing in foreign lands. A pinch of salt symbolizes the tears of our missing and their families who long for answers after decades of uncertainty. The lighted candle reflects our hope for their return, alive or dead. The Bible represents the strength gained through the faith to sustain us and those lost from our country, founded as one nation under God. The glass is inverted, symbolizing their inability to share a toast. The chair is empty, the seat that remains unclaimed at the table. So whenever you see this, this has everything to do with those that are fallen. You'll see it at different places, but it's a memorial that they set up to give value to those who lost their lives, to give value to say, listen, we remember what you have done, and we refuse to forget what you have done, right? Our country, we have been in war after war after war. World War I, they said it was 40 million people died in World War I. Between 75 and 85 million people died in World War II. Many of those lives were over very quickly. The men that ran onto the sands of Iwo Jima were dead before they hit the beach, so many of them. Teenagers, 16, 17, 18 years old. And they ran in, just as that one soldier said, so that we could be free. They ran in and said, I'll sacrifice myself. I'll answer the call so that my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, however many there are, can live out the freedom that God has given them so that they can preach the word of Jesus wherever they go. That's why they were given their lives, because it was one nation under God. Yours, mine, and ours, our lives are over very quickly also. Our lives are extinguished very quickly. We've got one shot at this too. What will they remember about you? We remember some of them, like this young man who the shell went through his back and ripped his spine apart. We remember his story because someone else told it. What would be the story of your life, or what would they say about you on the day that if you died today? What would be the proclamation over each one of our lives? Would it be that we lived our life the way that we wanted? Would it be that we lived our lives so that others may have freedom? Would it be that we surrendered for the sake of the many? What's the story that people would speak about you? Because every day we're building a memorial. Every word that you speak builds a memorial about who you are. Every day the memorials are made. What will those closest to you remember most about you? I know what my prayer is, that they would be reminded that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He served the Lord Jesus Christ. He raised his family in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he built the kingdom of God to honor Jesus Christ. That's the only testimony I want. The rest of it doesn't matter. Where I lived, what I had, what anything else that I possess, all was temporal. The only thing that I want is that my God would be glorified and honored at the end of my life and all the way through it. That's where my heart is. That's the freedom that they paid for me. I don't know what yours is. I don't know what kind of a memorial you're going to leave, but you're going to leave one. Amen? Everyone in here, you're going to leave a memorial. Did you stay steadfast? When they said, hey, it's time to press in, did you press out? When they said, hey, step in, did you step off? You see, those guys, they didn't want to leave those landing crafts. When that gate fell and the bullets were bouncing inside of there and they were dead before they even hit the water, they were encouraged constantly, go, run, get on the beach. And I want to encourage you, right now we're in a time in America where things are changing. And everybody said amen. It's changing. Because not many Christians want to storm the beach. They want to stay home. They want to watch the television. They want to hang out. They want to go on vacation. They want to do whatever they want to do. But not many, and we're only talking to the church. Tell your neighbor, say he's talking to you. Right. Each one of us, I'm not talking to the world. We know they're doing what they want to do. But they're only doing that until you meet them. And then through the words of faith, their lives are going to be changed. They're going to do what he asked them to do. Amen? Because he's got a plan for each and every one that's born on this planet. And you're the answer for a lot of them. You're the answer for many of them that are walking around confused, addicted, depressed, filled with anxiety, you're the one that these men and women died for so that you would be able to proclaim it to another generation that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I call the guys that I was in the military with, I call them every 5-6 months, sometimes 7-8 months, it depends. Life comes at us. And you know, I would call them before and we would just talk about the things that we walked through. I wasn't in during a time of war. We didn't carry guns on the C-130s because we were flying through typhoons and hurricanes. So I wasn't on the ground. I wasn't carrying a weapon. But we all served together doing our part in the military. We had no idea what we were going to do when we went in. I had no idea what an airlift, aircraft maintenance, bombardment specialist even meant. I came to find out it's a glorified gas station attendant. Whatever that airplane needed to be fixed, and I flew with it. That's what it came down to. But the military gives you this nice, big, long word about it. And so as we worked on it, we built relationships. And the guys that I was on Guam with, they were the tightest ones that I came to build relationships with. Why? Because we didn't have anybody else around us at that time. We had no family. Nobody had any family. So we built a lot of relationships. And ever since I've been back and ever since I gave my life to Christ, my goal was to make sure that each and every one of them heard the word of Jesus Christ. And I've flown to each one of their homes, all five of them, the guys that I was tight with, I've gone to each one of their homes and I prayed with each one of them, that each one of them have received Christ since we got out of the military. And I want you to know, it was just because of a love. Some of them took good care of us when we were over there. Some of them were married and would invite us over. We were eating the slop at the chow hall. Now, Air Force chow is pretty good, right, Tyler, compared to Army? Yeah. Oh, Marines. Sorry. Sorry, Marines. Same, same. And, but you didn't eat any of the Air Force ones out there? Oh, no? Oh, okay. And that's really good. But I know the Army and the Marines, these guys all came and said, we want to eat at your chow hall. So it was pretty good food, but it wasn't like mama made. And when you're overseas for the holidays, you're looking for something like home. And this one lady over there, Regina Oaks, Timmy Oaks was working with us, and he said, come on over to the house for Thanksgiving. Come on over to the house for Easter dinner, whatever it was. And we would go there, and man, it was like being home. And so they filled up their house all the time because they were so hospitable. And it changed each one of our lives because of the kindness that they showed. And they loved the Lord. I didn't know the Lord back then. They loved the Lord and brought us in. And they showed us the love of God in a time and a season where we were out of control. But every one of these guys, I just talked to one the other day. He's up in Michigan. And I said, hey, Johnson. His name is Todd Johnson. I said, hey, Johnson, I just want you to know before I hang up, I want you to know that I love you. He said, I love you, Halstead. He said, I could talk to you for hours. Every time we talk, I just want to listen to your voice. I said, you're probably the only one on the planet. Right, G? He said, I just love talking to you about the things of God because you always encourage me. I want you to know you're building a memorial. And needs to be a memorial because we are to build each other, which direction? Up in what? The most holy faith. The most holy, nothing to do with anything else. The memorial that we're building, and I want to build into each and every life, is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, if you ever go to the Arlington Cemetery, Arlington Cemetery is 639 acres of graves. 400,000 graves at Arlington Cemetery. Most people never go there. You go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. What is that about? That's a tribute to those that have died that nobody even remembers their name or where they are. They never found them. Their lives were lost. It's a memorial that they set up to remind us of how valuable life is, how valuable our freedom is, because there's nothing more valuable than the blood of the sons and daughters of this country. Other than the blood of Jesus Christ. if a nation forgets the value of life, each and every life, we lose our future as a nation and a people. We forget the value of life. Our very going forward is dependent on our past. I remember being at the USS Arizona in Hawaii, and you have to take a boat to go out there. When you go out there, there's 2,403 men and women lost their lives. And the oil from the ships that were sunk, it still seeps out at times, and it rises in the ocean. And they called it the black tears from all the men and women that have died. Their freedom, their lives for your freedom. Their lives were given. We need to set up memorials. You need to teach your children about the value and the cost of what happened in order for them to run around and have all that they are blessed with. And we are, as Garrett said, the most blessed nation on the planet. That's why everybody wants to come here. Amen? Nobody is clamoring to get into Iran. Go figure. There's a reason for that. But they want to come here. Unfortunately, some for nefarious reasons. And this is where we have to stand. I've been to the Alamo down in San Antonio. These are all different monuments and memorials that they set up, that you go and you visit and you see these wars and these wars that men and women have fought for our freedom. Amen. And I want to encourage you, whether it's San Antonio or whether it's Hawaii or this summer, we're hoping to be in Auschwitz and go see over there in Krakow in Poland. Because listen, if you forget the memorials, it's going to happen again. You forget what happened. They want to deny it and say that it never happened. They want to lie because they want you to be the frog in the boiling pot. And they just come and say, well, that could never happen again. It's going to. It's that simple. Why? Because the depravity of man hasn't changed. Only through Jesus Christ do things change. Other than that, greed and egos and pride, they still rule men's lives all the time without Christ. Even with Christ, how hard is it to destroy your ego and your pride and your greed? Every one of us, it's a daily battle, amen? So those without Christ have no hope of being anything except someone who wants to control it all. And so they'll do it again to try to get what they want. We need to pay attention to what's going on around the world. Tomorrow, I'll march in the parade there for the Veterans, or the Memorial Day parade. We just started the 7th Street Park, and then we march down to the courthouse. And then I get to open up in prayer, so I get to pray over our city. It's the highlight. That's all I care about, right? And I tell you, every year, because they give me this list, and they say, hey, this is what you're supposed to say. You guys know me. He comes up right after the first time I did it. One guy comes up to me, he says, you can't say that. I said, say what? He said, you have to stick to the script here. This is a military thing. This is a government thing. I said, I'm a civilian. I'm the chaplain. This is what I'm going to say. He said, you got to stick to the word. I said, you do. I'm going to stick to his word. You stick to man's word. And I'm not doing that out of rebellion. I'm doing that because I want to bring freedom into the city of Hudson. And every year after I get done, someone comes up and says, well, that was different. That was powerful. Thank you so much. I feel so encouraged when you got done. Every year somebody comes up and just is encouraged, because when the word of God goes forth, then the seed goes forth. And when that seed goes in, then it starts to change people's hearts. Amen? But you're going to have to stand up in the midst of it when they say, hey, you can't say that. Yes, I can. That's when you tell them, you say, hey, remember the Alamo. No, that's when you tell them, what do you think these memorials are all about? They're reminding me of the freedom that I have to proclaim Jesus Christ in this great nation, no matter where I walk. And I'm going to proclaim him above all else. Amen? John 15, 12 to 14. Sorry, I just wanted to honor those men and women and remind us of the different places that you can go. Gettysburg. Anybody been down to Gettysburg, PA? If you don't know Gettysburg, see Josh Williams. Josh has all the gear. He gets all duded up in his stuff, and he goes down there, and he does a lot of the reenactments. In Gettysburg, where 7,058 men and women lost their lives. Wars have consumed men and women's lives, destroyed generations of God's kids, all because of the arrogance of man. We're not against anyone. We're for Christ. Amen? But we're going to have to stand on his word. In John 15, 12 to 14, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Tell your neighbor, say, "I love you." I love you. Tell your other neighbor, say, "I love you too."
I love you too.
Right. "Just as I have loved you." Greater love is this than, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. "You are my friends if you do what I command." You're only a friend of God if you do it. You're not a friend of God because you say it. How many walk around and you say, "Hey, do you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior?" Took a walk this morning with a couple other men. We were praying, walking down Warren Street. And we got down up on top of Parade Hill there, overlooking the river. And this one gentleman comes walking up, and I say, "Good morning." He said, "Good morning." I said, "So you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? We got to get to the point. We don't have time to mess around. I got a church service to do, so we got to get to the point, right?" So I said, "You know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior?" "Sure do." "Wonderful. Where are you going to church?" Doesn't take long to find out who says it and who does it. We can't be the sayers. We've got to be the doers. This is how we walk in our lives. If we're going to find freedom in our own lives, can I tell you, when I do what he says and read the word every day, freedom comes into my mind. Because he said you're going to renew your mind daily. Amen? When I pray and I spend time with the Lord, my heart gets healed and I find freedom to be able to proclaim Jesus Christ. When I do what he says, I have what he promised. Not just when I say, "Yeah, I'm going to pray. Yeah, I'm going to read." So many times Christians, when we talk, they haven't touched their Bibles. They haven't prayed. Listen, we give you opportunities in this morning, and there's no condemnation. Tell your neighbor, say, "I don't feel condemned." Just look at your other neighbor. I just want to make sure you weren't looking at your wife or your husband. See, it was somebody else you were looking at, all right? It's a day to remember those who paid the freedom to walk in. For you to walk in your freedom. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 26. Pastor Jeff, you want to come on up? Where is he? Jesus said, or says in his word, and then we'll get to what he says. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said," what did he say? "This is my body. Do this in what? Do this in what? Do this in what?" Jesus set up the greatest memorial you'll ever have. He said, "Every time you do this, I want you to remember one thing, my insatiable love for you. I want you to know there's not a drop of sweat that drips off of your body that I don't know about. There's not a hair on your head that I haven't counted. There's not a day in your life that I haven't numbered. There's not a time that you went through, no matter how horrible it was against you, or that you did, that I wasn't with you." He said, "When I do this, or when you do this so that you remember the power of my blood." I want you to know the power of his blood is amazing. Every one of your guilty stains has been washed if you believe in Jesus Christ. Only if you believe. See, once again, yeah, I heard that, I know. I don't care what you know, it's that if you believe, you'll be set free. Amen? He said, if you believe, you confess with your mouth that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. If you believe in your heart, so he's going to believe it and confess it. He said, you shall be saved. See, it's an action. It's an action that you're going to have to put your feet to. You're going to put your faith to. You're going to have to open up your mouth and you're going to have to say it. Well, I just believe it in my heart. You can believe it in your heart, but you're still going to have to confess it with your mouth. Why do you think people don't confess it with their mouth? Fear. But God hasn't given us a... The other guys were... Can I just tell you, there's a lady that's in a wheelchair down there in Hudson. Her name's Betty. I prayed for her last week. Trisha's mom prayed for her this week. A couple other guys prayed for her this morning again. She thought she was going to stay out. She can't stay out of the kingdom of God. She can't stay out of the house of God. You know why? Because we're going to love her in so many wonderful ways, she's bound to like some of them. And then one day you're going to see her sitting in here and saying, you know what? Because she told Trisha's mom, she goes, because her mom walked up and said, oh, are you Betty? She said, yeah, I'm Betty. She said, oh, how do you know I'm Betty? Well, my pastor said he prayed for you. She said, oh, that military-looking guy? She said, yeah. And then two more guys prayed for her again this morning. I want you to know, this is what happens when you're free living in America. You find somebody in need, and you go confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And then we're going to break through the lies so that they can live free like we do. Amen? You have a freedom, but we're going to have to remember. He said, every time we do this, you remember what I've done for you. Goes on to say, you do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way he took the cup. Go ahead and hand it out, fellas. Sorry. He took the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And he said, do this. Do this. Do this. Do this. Why did he want you to do this? To remember what he's done. He wanted you to do this so you'd remember the blood that was shed for you. This weekend, we remember not only his blood, but all the men and women's blood that was shed so we could go travel around the world proclaiming Jesus Christ and not have a fear or a worry. All of our needs being met above and beyond anything we could ever ask or think. Everything you have is his. Every place you put your feet, he did it. He created this world for each and every one of us. He gave you your freedom so that you could walk in it. And this morning, as we remember the men and women that have died, I want you to think about the time that you've spent over your life when you weren't grateful, when you forgot. Maybe you weren't grateful for the one that you married. Maybe you weren't grateful for your children at some point. Maybe you weren't grateful for the life that God has given you. Jesus said, I want you to remember something. I changed all of that the day you received me. All things have been made new. All things have been made new. Means our attitudes. Tell your neighbor, say, you need a new attitude. Tell your other neighbor, say, I got a new attitude. It's an attitude of gratefulness. We need to be a grateful people. We need to be a grateful child of God. We need to remind ourselves that it's not about us. That one day we're going to stand before him. Amen? Can I tell you? He's a very gracious God and he's also a very just God. And each one of us have the same opportunity this morning with our lives to change people's lives. And each one of us have the same opportunity to decide, I'm not doing what God said. And I pray that that's not our decision this morning. I pray our decision is that we agree with what he said and that we choose the ultimate sacrifice. See, that's what Jesus chose. He chose the ultimate sacrifice. He said, Father, I'll go lay down my life. And then at the end, he said, if there's any other way, Dad, can I not go through this? I don't know if you've cried that out. For those of you, and I'm going to look down, all right? But for those of you with the call of God on your life, you've said the same thing. Is there any other way? I know I did. They said, hey, you're gonna pastor a church. I said, Lord, is there any other way? Can't I just be a plumber? Isn't that good enough? Is there any other way I can do something else? Because I don't want to be a pastor. That's not me. Jesus said, yet nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. So this morning, whatever your call is, Jesus said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And he went to the cross and he said, it's finished. We need to get to that point in our hearts where we say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, even if I'm afraid, isn't that what courage is? Doing it afraid? Yeah, I'm still afraid. At times, I think about planting more churches, looking forward to going to Brazil, planting a church down there. You can't go to Brazil with us until you go to Guatemala first. That's the rules, right? Yeah. Oh, you got to come up in the mountains in Guatemala first. You got to cut your teeth in Guatemala, right, Larry? Right, Kia? No. Kia said, no, she did Africa. That's good enough. Now she can go to Brazil. Can I tell you, that's the life he wants you to live. One where there's freedom and joy, and we're not even thinking about what we have, but we're taking what he has given us and we're sowing it to the whole world. There's a place that God wants to bring each and every one of us. But this morning, can you say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done? Lord, what have you called me to do? And to go back and research the prophecies over your life, to remember, he said, hey, every time you do this, remember the covenant that you made with me. And remember the covenant I made with you. I said, I'll go before you. I said, I'll make a way. I said, I'll bless everything you put your hands to. I said, I'll take care of your children, your children's children, as many as call on my name. I said that I'll make sure that no matter where you walk in freedom. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. That's his promise. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Look at that. You didn't know you were special. You're so special. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, he said. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. He wants to bestow a new walk upon your life this morning, a life of gratitude. Everything changes in your life when you start to walk with gratitude. How many times does a wrong thought take over your thoughts? Right? They don't have to do hardly anything. Not enough sugar in my coffee. Man, if I could, I'd give that look. I'd tell them. And this whole thought process just goes into a wild time in your head. And gratefulness never comes into the conversation. This week, we're grateful. This week, we're reminded. He said, every time you do this, remember what I've done for you. Remember, I gave you a new name. I wrote your name in my book of life. No man takes you out of my hand. This is what he wants us to remember every single day of our lives. In the Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things through what? Right. There's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't do. Whatever he's called you to do, you can do. And you're going to give an account for whether you did it or not on this earth. I knew he'd get quiet on that one. Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Isn't that good news? Listen, this is what he said. Every time you do this, memorialize it. Don't doubt it. Don't wonder. Don't guess. Just walk in the freedom that I have blessed you with. And that's all those that have given their lives for us. That's why we got to remember, hey, wait a minute. This was very costly. Help me to enjoy my freedom. Help me to enjoy it. Stand up this morning.